It says there is joy in the presence of the Lord. And until Christmas happened, the rules were one man once a year had the right, if he had no sin in his life, to walk into a room with a rope tied around his ankle, with bells on the bottom of his skirt, to where if he wasn't right with the Lord, when he got there, he would drop dead and they would have to drag him out. And then someone would have to wait a whole nother year before they were able to experience the joy of being in God's presence again. But on the first Christmas, when that baby was born, was the first opportunity the world or mankind had to experience true joy on an individual basis. And today we're going to look into that and dive into that because, you know, a lot of times we know the word joy and you hear people say Merry Christmas and we don't really understand all what that is or what the depth of joy is, because joy is not a emotion and joy is not a feeling, because the Bible says that joy is a gift. Joe, I didn't give you my scriptures because, again, I changed them five times before I got here this morning. And so I'm going to give it to you now. I want you to go to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. I want to try to dive in and explain just a little bit what actually joy is, because joy is a gift. It's not something you can fake. It's not something you can derive. It's not something that you can act. It's a gift, and it's a gift because this scripture says this. It says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. In other words, joy had to be brought. And you don't bring emotions, and you don't bring feelings, and you don't bring, you know, thoughts. What you bring is a gift. And when the angels arose there that day, telling the shepherds that news, what they brought them was good news about Jesus being born. And them bringing that information to them, the Bible says, brought great joy. Just hearing that he had finally made it brought great joy. Joy is a gift. So we're going to look at joy just for a minute, because the truth is this. A lot of people have no idea really how to be joyful. You know, this year going into Christmas will probably be some of the greatest joyful memories families will make. There'll be, you know, families going into Christmas this year with the new child, and it'll be the first Christmas that they've ever had with that child. And so, you know, there is an excitement and an anticipation that they've never felt or experienced before. There are some families that are going into Christmas just married or in a new relationship. And so just going into Christmas with those kind of things, there's some families going into Christmas, you know, where their employers have wrote great bonus checks. And so it makes it easier than it's been any other month. And the stress of buying the presents aren't all on your shoulders. And I'd say Christmas is an amazing time. And as great a fun and amazing time it is, the truth is this. There's still a lot of families and still a lot of people going through a lot of hard things this Christmas too. As a matter of fact, Christmas is the highest time for suicide of any other time of the year. More people suffer from depression during the holidays than they do any other time of the year. How can that be if it's supposed to be a Merry Christmas? How can that be if it's the funnest or the happiest time of the season? How can that be? It also has a dark side to it as well. Because the truth is, there are going to be some people going into Christmas this year whose life partner has passed during the year this year. And this may be the first Christmas they're facing alone without the one that's been with them for 40, 50 years. There are some that whose children have grown up, gotten married, moved away, and began to build their own families. And so there's moms and dads whose children now have their own children. And so holidays, like it's always been, don't seem to be that way anymore. So it's like there's a hole or a void filled there. There are some people going into this Christmas whose jobs have cut back. By the way, when mom says we've cut out three jobs at the big church, we did not lay anybody off. We've just given them other things to do. But there are people going into this Christmas unemployed, not knowing what they're going to do or how they're going to be able to get the Christmas gifts to their children or take care of them. There's some people facing health issues this year that the doctor gave them a health report that is devastating and knocks the complete wind out of them. And so going into Christmas, how can Christmas be merry when you're looking at circumstances and situations that are real in people's lives that aren't nothing joyful about it? It's because joy was a gift. And no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what circumstances you're facing or what situation you're in, it's available to you, even in the midst of the darkest hours. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we can count it all joy when we go into diverse trials and temptations. Because what is going on in those times? God is at work for you, even in your dark time. But there is a gift that you can hold on to that you must have in your life while you're going through those things. And it is called the gift of joy, because if you don't have it, you might not make it. And it's just the truth. If you're facing a hard Christmas this year, and it doesn't seem like a Merry Christmas, it's more like a scary Christmas to you. Don't know where you're going to go or what you're going to do. I'm telling you, there's a gift for you to open this year. And you're not the only one that has been through a season like this. As a matter of fact, in the Christmas story, the major theme spoken through the entire chapters of the Gospels telling the Christmas story says there are two things taking place, two things that are predominant situations that people are facing during Christmas. One, it says they're facing the greatest love story, and God so loved, and God gave, and God did, and that is an amazing side of that story. But also in that story, a predominant theme that shows up all the way through it is that there's, he says, five different times in five different places, God said, or he sent an angel to say, fear not. Five different places in the story. When he appeared to Mary, first thing he said was, Mary, fear not. I bring you good tidings. Fear not to the shepherds. He told Zechariah, fear not. He told Joseph, fear not. So although the story is laced with love all the way through and of hope, and the thing that they brought was joy, at the same time, there was a counteracting attack and a counteracting situation going on that everyone that was involved in the story was facing the spirit of fear. And so what we're going to do today, we're going to break it down between the two different things. We're going to break it down, the difference between hope and the difference between fear. Because, see, fear is the tool that the enemy uses to steal your joy. Mary, when the angel appeared before her and said, fear not, she was facing the fear, all kinds of fears. When I read the story, what I see predominantly in her life, she was facing the fear of inadequacy. Because she looked at the situation, looked at what the angel told her, and she said, how in the world can I do this? How can this be, is what she said. She knew her. She knew what she was like, and she knew that God was telling her she was going to do something great. She was going to do something amazing. And he started off, the angel said, fear not, Mary. God, you have found favor in God's sight. You may feel inadequate, is what he was saying, I read in the scripture, but God can do anything if you allow him to use you. There are people here this morning that are struggling with having joy in this season, or opening joy in this, because they're afraid that they're just inadequate. People are going to find out that they're really not what people think they are, or they're thinking, you know, I can't do what I need to do. I can't support my family the way I'm supposed to support. I can't be the husband. I can't be the wife. I can't. Inadequacy. But today we're going to be given a choice in that area. Are you going to choose joy? Or are we going to choose fear? Because fear, I've told you before, is a prophetic voice. If we listen to prophetic voice in your life, it will tell you your result or tell you your future. If you hold on to the fear voice, then your end result will be what the fear voice says. But if you listen to the joy voice, I'm saying joy is such a powerful thing. There's hundreds of scriptures in the Bible that deal with joy, but I pulled out several here, and it's the promises that joy brings. And the first thing in James 1, 2, and 3, it says this. It says that joy will bring and help you control your thoughts. Man, that is a powerful, powerful gift that God's given us to be able to take. It says, consider joy. In other words, think about joy. We have the choice to make to think joyful thoughts or we can think fearful thoughts. And if you'll think fearful thoughts, I'm telling you, what will happen is the fearful situations. And you won't have the Merry Christmas that God intended for each one. You'll have the scary Christmas that the enemy's wanting you to walk into and wanting to rob you from. But what he says is, he says that it can help you battle your thoughts if we just take joy. Another place in the scripture. It says in Isaiah 9, it says that promotion is brought by joy. Joy can promote you. That is a powerful, powerful thing. In Ecclesiastes 9, it says joy gives you approval. Proverbs 10:28 says that it's the prospect of righteousness in your life is joy. There are just so many. The Bible says in Nehemiah that joy is strength. Joy is strength. In other words, if you can't get through what you're going through and you're struggling to make it, you need strength. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. What else is joy? Joy, the Bible says, in Philemon 1:7, it says that joy has the ability to refresh you. I mean, you guys just need a refreshing. You're exhausted. You're worn out. You're tired. It's like you're dry. Everything. You need to be refreshed. You ever been around a joyful person? It's like you're standing in a shower. It's just so refreshing to finally be around somebody that's not so negative. Or if you got all the negatives rolling through your mind all the time, it's so nice to hear them, so refreshing to hear somebody speaking joy out their mouth. In Psalms 27, it says joy will help you prevail over your enemies. 1 Peter, it says that joy has the ability to fill your life up. It says that your joy may be full. Man, if you're missing and you're lacking and there's holy, I'm telling you, joy will fill your life up. The Bible says that. I love it because in Romans 15, it says it the same thing. It says joy will fill your life up. We need and in desperate need of joy. The Bible says in Isaiah 35 that joy is a crown on your head. Now, who wears crowns? I mean, what a powerful tool. It's a crown on my head. The Bible says this. The Bible says in Psalms that it says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's Proverbs. I'm sorry. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Then if you're battling sickness, you need the gift of joy in your life. It is a predominant gift that God's given us. In John 16, it says joy will help heal grief. In Psalms 30, it says joy will help heal a broken heart. In Romans 14, it says that this, joy brings us into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, joy is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's not a thought pattern. It's a gift that will change everything in our lives. The thing about it is, a lot of times we try to fake joy or make joy, or we try to be joyful. And you don't have to be joyful. You accept joyfulness. Number one in your outlines there this morning. Number one secret to accepting the gift of joy is this. You need to anticipate joy. You need to anticipate it. Because if you're not anticipating, you can miss it. You can know all about it. You can know where to get it. You know, they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can be right in the middle of this holiday season, twinkling lights in every store and every corner. You can be surrounded by people full of joy and excitement, and yet you miss out on it completely. In the Christmas story, it tells us of a group of people that missed Christmas or missed the gift of joy. And they were the very ones that should have got it. Says it in, Joe, if you will, go to Matthew 2, verse 4 and 5. Now, of all the people you would have thought would have blown it or missed it or didn't get it or miss out on the joy of Christmas, you would have thought it wasn't the people that were the scholars, the one that knew the most, and the one that had studied the hardest and had, what you would say, anticipated it the longest. You would have thought this would have been a group of people that would have got it. In the Christmas story, the Bible says that the wise men that came from the east said that they were watching the stars. Doesn't say they were actually even looking for the Messiah's coming. It says they were watching the stars, and there was something that happened, and theologians don't know really what it was. Some believe it could have been a comet. Some believe it was a star. Some believe they don't know what it really was out there, and I don't know what it was, but I know you could see it from a long way off, and it was in the sky, the Bible says. And so if it was in the sky and you could see it from a long way off, that means I don't believe them three guys that saw it were the only ones that had the opportunity to see it. I believe everybody could have seen it. But for some reason, these three guys were curious to see, man, what could that possibly be? What could it possibly mean? And we're going to go find out. They had a heart of anticipation. They wanted to know. They wanted to experience. They wanted to see. And out of all the, I believe that's why we call them wise men, because, see, they were wise enough to anticipate something they didn't know anything about. You may not understand everything about God, and you may not understand everything about what He can do in your life, and you may not understand all that can take place and how He can change it and fix your situation. But the thing about it is, you don't have to understand it for God to get to be able to do it. You just have to be willing to want Him to. And there's a lot of things still about God that I have no idea, I can't explain, and I don't understand. But I want Him to make me what He's created me to be. And if I'm wanting that, if I'm desiring that, if I'm anticipating Him to do it in my life, God will do it in my life. But these three wise men, they saw this star, the Bible says, and so they followed it, and it brought them to King Herod's palace. Now, we'll talk about King Herod in a few minutes, but King Herod, the Bible says, they showed up at his palace because they saw in the star that there was going to be a king born. So where do you go to find a king? It says you go to, in thought patterns, they went to the palace, and so they went to the king's palace, and they walked in and said, Herod, there's a king being born. Don't you see that star out there? Do you know anything about it? Can you tell us where it's going to happen? And this is what the Bible says. Herod did not know. So when you read it there, it says this is what he did. He said, so he got up in the middle of the night, and he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, and he inquired of them where the Christ was born. Let's go a couple more, John. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So Herod had no idea. The wise men had seen the sign, but they needed the information on it. So what they did was, the Bible says, he got up and he went and got all the priests and all the scribes that knew this and had been waiting and supposedly anticipating for the coming of the Messiah for hundreds of years. They knew all the prophecies, and they knew all the things that it said. It says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel. They had this. The chief priests and all these guys knew this. And the night the star was in the sky, none of them cared. They had been trained and taught their whole lives to follow this star, or wait for the star. It's coming. And it's. Did you know King Herod's palace is 5 miles from Bethlehem? And these guys gathered in the king's castle that night, discussed it, theologized it, or talked it, theologianized it, however, whatever word you want to put in there. And they told the king all about it, but they never went 5 miles. What they supposedly called themselves waiting on for hundreds of years. And they missed out on the greatest. You would think the most religious folks would have been the ones at the birth that night, because they knew the most and they had the most understanding. And supposedly they've been waiting the longest. I've learned this, and I've been victim of this. Or not victim, I've been guilty of this. Being born again, Jesus changing my life. I've been guilty of lacking the gift of joy probably more than any other ones have in different times in my life. And I am a religious folk. I know Christians that you couldn't squeeze a drop of joy out of their life. They've been sitting on pews for so long that they have gotten so, you could say, familiar with the stories and so comfortable with the gifts. And they're just like these scribes, and they're just like these priests. They supposedly have dedicated their life to this, but they've never opened the gift. Those guys didn't walk 5 miles and waited their whole lives. Why? Because they weren't really anticipating. They were going through the motions. They were acting like Christians act. And I'm telling you, joy is not an act. Joy is a gift. And if you're here this morning and you've been giving your heart to God and you've been having to act this thing out and you've been trying to fake your walk and you've been coming and doing because that's what you're supposed to do, I want you to know there's more to it than religion. There is a relationship. And when you get that relationship, you can't turn the joy off in your life. So we have to anticipate joy. That means you have to eagerly desire it and be waiting for it to come. Keep your eyes open, looking for opportunities for it to enter into your life. Number two, you have to recognize joy. You got to recognize it. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says, there was no room for them in the inn. No room for them in the inn. Now, you've got to look in the Christmas story with this guy. There was an innkeeper that was running a business, and it supported his family. The important part about this thing was, you know, he was moving into a census time, which was going to be a very economical time for him. And so I'm sure he had made the beds in his inn to the best, had spiffied up everything, cleaned everything up, because he knew there were going to be large crowds of people coming into town. And his business was his inn, and his business is what paid his bills and supported his family. And so his focus was 100% on his business. And so he was, I'm sure, for months prepping and preparing, stocking the refrigerators, getting everything ready for what was about to take place. But he had no idea what really was about to take place. And the Bible says, when Mary and Joseph got to the inn, says the innkeeper said, I'm sorry, there's no room for you here. He didn't recognize the very thing that he needed the most, the very thing that he desired the most. Let me ask you this. If you go over to Israel right now, you pay thousands of dollars to do it. You get on buses and they will take you from site to site. They will show you where Jesus was buried. They will show you where he was crucified. They will show you where he broke the bread, 5,000. They'll show you what. Let me ask you this. How much do you think people would pay to stay in the room he was born in? You talking about the greatest financial opportunity anybody on this planet has ever had? You think he would have any problems keeping that hotel room booked up today? If he would have made room, if he would have recognized who was knocking on his door, if he wouldn't have said, there's no room here. Listen, we're busy. I'm running a business here. I'm involved in my stuff. I got to do this. And he didn't recognize that what God had the ability to do was change everything for him. Because whatever the name of that inn was at that time, I promise you, it would have been changed to Savior was born here. And he would have been booked up for the rest of his life. But he missed it. Why? Because he just didn't recognize it. So busy that he couldn't recognize. See, in our lives, we get so busy taking care of our business, so busy carrying the weight of what we got going on, that I'm telling you, a lot of times we don't recognize that maybe the little inconveniences that God brings in our past could be the very thing that would answer the greatest needs in your life. And it would bring such joy and such provision and such taking care of you. I'm telling you, it was not by chance they knocked on his door. It was just his loss that he didn't recognize. I'm telling you right now, God is knocking on you. Why do you think it's so hard to get to church every week? Because there's always something you need to be doing, your businesses and everything. Because what happens is when we don't take care of what we think our business is, it opens a door for fear that if I don't do this or if I don't get this done, there's not going to be enough time and this is going to. And so fear comes in, and when fear comes in and you allow Fear to get you so busy taking care of your business, it causes you not to recognize what God is trying to do, and it could change everything. I'm telling you, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst of them. The Bible says there is joy in the presence of the Lord. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that when I come to church and I'm in here, He's here. And if He can't get to me any other place, any other way, He can't, like I say, my house may be so full. Remember the Bible, we read it, joy fills you up. A lot of times we don't have joy because we're already so full that we can't get a drop in. If we can learn to recognize the directions of God in our lives, I'm telling you, you will never have to chase joy. You will be full of joy. Sitting in His presence. The hardest thing I do in a day, hardest thing I do is try to find 5 minutes to spend with Him. And I do some hard things. You know, working construction, we do hard work. I've got scars on my body and I've got bones I've broken on job. And we've done hard stuff. But none of them have compared to as hard a time as I have trying to make sure that I can fit Him in every day. But there's a scripture in Proverbs that says this, if I will give time to Him, He will give me hours of my day. We just don't realize it, the gift of joy that God offers us. And so we don't recognize it. This Christmas, some of us haven't been able to open the gift of joy because we've not recognized it. So we're innkeepers. You know He was kicking Himself. You know He was. Because now people travel from all over the world to go look at that manger when they could have been traveling all over the world to look at that 5-star hotel that had turned that inn into. Just letting God in. Just letting God recognize. You say, I don't know that guy. What if it is? What if it is? What if next Sunday it's the service that God was going to heal you in? What if it was next Sunday? It was the service God was going to use to reach your lost child. What if it was next Sunday that God was going to use to break the financial poverty spirit off of your life? What if? And it's okay if you miss it. But if you do, God can't force it on you. He's a perfect gentleman. The innkeeper, see, I believe those wise men that showed up, or even the shepherds that did, they could have forced their way into that inn and made sure Jesus had room. And I know that there was probably a family in there, if they would have known the circumstance situation, they would have let a pregnant lady have their room. But see, it never got past him because he didn't recognize what was taking place. So you first, second, have to recognize the opportunities that God's trying to bring joy into your life. Number three, you have to choose joy. Like I told you before, there are two major themes in the Bible, in the Christmas story, that are constantly at fight. There's the gifts of God, and there's the spirit of fear. That's why 5 different times God said, or He sent an angel to say, fear not, in just that one story. And, you know, one of the major elements or one of the major characters in the story that allowed fear to change his story was King Herod. Remember, we were talking about him just a few minutes ago. And you got to understand who he was and understand why. Even when the angels showed up to the shepherds, remember what they had, Luke 2, we first read, it says, first thing it says, fear not. I bring joy. Fear not, I bring joy. Fear not, I bring joy. Those shepherds, at that moment, they had a choice. You know what the Bible says those shepherds were doing? It says they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. That tells me this. They were functioning out of fear before the angels ever appeared. How do I know that? What do you keep watch at night for? They're sitting up watching for predators. They wanted to be vigilant. They wanted to keep something from coming in and taking and coming and stealing. The shepherds would sit up and try to keep lions or try to keep wolves and things from taking their sheep. So the angels had to show up first and say, listen, get out of a thought pattern of fear. We're going to give you an opportunity to live in joy. And if you will choose to go the joy way, I'm telling you, your life will change. The Bible says Herod lived and functioned completely out of fear. The Bible says this is what happened when the wise men showed up at his house and told him that there was going to be a king born. He didn't know anything about it. But it scared him. It scared him. See, Herod in his history, when you study his history, Herod was a very paranoid man. He was hated by the Jews because what had happened was he was not a Jewish man. He had come from Arabia is what theologians believe. And he had moved into the area and he had proclaimed himself to be king. And he had put himself in there, and the Roman government had looked at where he had put himself, and they put a power behind it, or they accepted that he will be the king of the Jews. And so they allowed him to stay there and reign there. But Herod lived a lifestyle of paranoia. He was so afraid at any moment that the position that he had at that moment was going to be taken away from him. History says that Herod killed his wife because he thought she was going to overthrow him. He killed two of his sons because he thought they were going to overthrow him. He killed his son-in-law because he thought they were going to overthrow him. Every person that King Herod thought was going to overthrow him or had an opportunity to overthrow him or would even get a chance to, he would kill so they wouldn't have to. He was so crazy and paranoid in his mind thinking that 5 days before Herod died, he went and arrested five of the major Jewish leaders at the time and put them in jail, and he made this decree. He told them, he says, when I die, the moment I die, you're to go and kill all five of those Jewish leaders. He said, because I know this, no one will cry when I'm dead, but if you'll kill them at the same time, somebody will cry on the day that I die. He was a total crazy man. He was the man that ordered, because the wise men, and this makes you question the idea, were they really that wise? But they were, because they paid whatever price to get to the feet of Jesus and they brought him in. But they're the ones that told Herod that there was going to be a baby born in King Jesus. And so he was the one that put the decree out that every child under the age of two is to be killed, which became known as the murder of innocents. And they killed all the babies. He was so afraid of losing control. He was so afraid that there would be another king in his life. He was so afraid that he wouldn't get to call the shots and somebody would challenge his authority that he lived his entire life in torture of fear. But see, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave the gift of joy. And where the gift of fear torments people. But I've watched it. I've dealt with so many young men, and I was one for a long time, that was so afraid that if I allowed Jesus to live in my life, I would lose control. I was so afraid that if I allowed Jesus to live in my life, I would be unhappy. I was so afraid. And so, I mean, if you have grown up growing like I had, you spend years running from God. You spend years trying to resist the callings and to resist the pull of conviction on your life. And so why? Because you want to be in charge and you want to be in control. And that is a spirit of fear. It's the same spirit that drove King Herod. Everything he could do to kill Jesus, keep Jesus out of his life. But the thing about it is, it did not prevail. The spirit of fear used every tactic it could to try to kill the gift of joy. Couldn't happen. And today, although the gift is available, a lot of people don't choose it. They don't choose it because it's easier at times to live in fear. But if you've ever been afraid, if you've ever lived in torment like that, the stress that it brings and the worry that it brings and the hardship that it brings, you get to a place where there's no enjoyment in life. When you read the history of Herod, you see that because of his fear that he died so miserable and died so paranoid, he died alone. And like he said, nobody would care He had to kill men that people did care about to even get people to cry the day he died. Fear is the combating force of joy. Two can't exist in the same place. You can't be afraid. That's why we don't. I was going to change out the decorations this morning with Halloween decorations. Because Merry Christmas is a joyful Christmas. But a scary Christmas is a tormenting Christmas. And the gift of joy has the power, though, to take away all your fear. You may be sitting in here this morning and you're so afraid because of the doctor's report the devil's given you. You're so afraid of the bank account that you were looking at yesterday. You're so afraid because of the brokenness in the relationships in your life. Or you're so afraid because you're alone this Christmas. And you've got. And the truth is this. Not every Christmas is perfect. You may be going through a very scary time right now. You may be going through a very unsecure time. You may be alone. You may be in hardship. But I'm here to tell you, your scariness, your scary situation, there's an answer to it. And it comes in the form of faith that God's gift to you is more powerful. This is what the Holy Spirit told, or God told Mary. In the middle of her fear of inadequacy, she said, how in the world can this happen? It's physically impossible, God. I've never been with the man. You even told me that in the beginning. And this is what Mary said. It's probably the most powerful statement in the entire Bible. She said, how can this be? And the angel said, by the Holy Ghost. The impossible becomes the impossible when you allow God to put His Spirit in control. When He said, the Holy Ghost, He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. When you allow God to be in control, see, God can't be in control as long as the spirit of fear is in control. The Bible says fear is not a feeling, it's not an emotion, the Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear. But it does say that God came and that we're to fear not, I bring you great tidings of great joy. So He didn't give us the spirit of fear. But He brought to us an antidote, which is great joy. You say, well, Cricket, how do I get that joy? Comes to a point of surrender. What you have to do is you have to be willing to come in what the wise men did. This thing you've been carrying around. See, they were carrying gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But see, fear has caused us to carry worry and stress and broken relationships, and heartache. Fear causes us to carry all of these things that the enemy is using to steal your joy. And you say, Greg, you didn't do a good job describing joy tonight, because I can't. I can't explain joy to you. But once you have it, words can't describe it. There's no way to give it, but people know it. When you have it, you're freer than you've ever been before. When you have it and you understand that everything that you've been afraid of, you don't have to be afraid of anymore. You can just sit back and let God be control of it. I was reading a definition of joy, and it said this: joy is a certainty that God is in control and God can handle it and God will not let you down. Hey, that doesn't sound like anything definition of joy I've ever heard. But I said, you know what? That is the absolute truth. Because when you understand that it is a certainty that God can handle it, God is in control, and you let God do it, then I'm telling you, the weight lifts off your shoulders. The fear is gone, and you are really gone. Joy is the absence of fear. When all fear is gone, what you have left, you'll be full of joy. That's why I truly believe 5 times in all 5 people, in all 5 situations, He showed up and He said, fear not. When He told Zechariah that, he was 70 years old. He said, fear not, Zechariah. You're about to have a baby. He said, there's no way possible. Fear not. Doubt is fear. Belief is joy. When you believe, joy rushes in. When he told Mary, "Fear not, Mary." She says, "How, God?" "By the Holy Ghost." When she believed it, joy came in. She said, when he told Joseph, "Fear not, Joseph." He done went through a season of disbelief. And things looked bad. We preached on this Wednesday night. Things looked so bad for Joseph. His marriage was over. He was brokenhearted. Looked like he'd been stabbed in the back. Looked like his future plans and everything he invested all his money into was a waste. And now he finds it. And the Bible says this. It's what we talked about Wednesday. You need to get this. It said this. He didn't act on that feeling. The first thing he did is he says, and while he was thinking, while he was considering these things, says the Holy says the angel appeared to him in a dream. In other words, he didn't just jump to it and act to it, and fear didn't drive him instantly. What he did was he took time and allowed God to do what God said he would do if it was God saying it. Another way it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. The Bible says he will direct your paths. He's faithful. He will take that stress, that heaviness, that fear, that thing that's robbing your joy, and he will fill you full, the Bible says, full of joy. And it will become your strength, and it will become your provision, and it will become your promotion, and it will become your crown, and it will become what God is. It, when it comes in, it brings you to a point where it says, you know, joy is in the kingdom of God. When you get joy in, it moves you into God's plan for your life. So the gift of joy is available here today. What we're about to do is there's a lot of people facing a lot of hard things this Christmas. I totally understand. And I'm not negating any of it, but I'm telling you this. Even in your darkest, hardest situation, joy can change it for you. Jesus did not come in the palace like he could have, like others thought he could have. He came into the manger, a dark, dirty, wet, sticky situation. And now it's the most famous birthplace in the entire world. Don't miss it. Recognize it. If the Holy Spirit's tugging on you right now, if you need to get things right with God, if you need to let joy in your life, right now you're going to have an opportunity. I'm going to ask you to choose it. If you're in a hard situation this morning and you're saying, "Cricket, I don't have joy anywhere," I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive joy and choose joy. I can't give it to you, but God can fill you full of it this morning. If you're here this morning and you say, "Cricket, I just don't have any hope for things to get better. I'm not anticipating. Yeah, it's like I'm just so tired of waiting that I'm just waiting." And so you've quit anticipating joy in your life. We want to pray for you.